Are you all happy, happy, happy? Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Well, that is good. I'm glad that you are here. I'm excited to be able to share with you the second part of our sermon series that I began last week entitled, Listen Up, Tuning In to the Voice of God. You know, one of the things that I was sitting thinking earlier during the worship service as I was contemplating this message, I was thinking about how I go about making decisions. How do I go about making some major decisions in my life, major life decisions? And I was trying to go back and remember a time where I didn't walk with the Lord. How would I go about making decisions in those days? And so do you remember when we were kids? Some of you may remember, some of you may not. There used to, now I don't need JoJo and Mama Gail coming up and laying hands on me, but back in the day, there used to be this thing called the Magic 8 Ball. How many of you remember the Magic 8 Ball? And as a kid, you would get it, and you would shake it, and you would ask it a question and turn it, and then a little thing would float up to the screen, and it would give you an answer. And so I wonder how many of us still make decisions kind of like the Magic 8 Ball, or you flip a coin, or you draw straws, or whatever it is that you need to do. One of the best ways to make decisions is to go to the Lord in prayer and see what God has to say about it. But for some of us, it can be quite challenging because we have not yet learned to tune in to the voice of God or know whether it is God who is speaking to me or is it just me speaking to me or is it just maybe it's the enemy speaking to me. And if you've ever struggled wrestling with how to hear the voice of God, last week's message, this week's message, and next week's message is tailor-made just for you because I plan on talking and teaching us about how to tune in and hear the voice of God. I don't know what you do to make major life decisions. I don't know who you go to. I don't know how you go about it. But the best answer, the best solution is to get yourself before God and hear what God has to say. Part of the issue or part of the struggle that we deal with, however, is that we live in a noisy world. We live in a busy world, and there is so much noise around us. There's so much that is competing and vying for our attention and vying for our ear, and we get so caught up in the noise that's going on around us that sometimes it can be quite challenging to be able to know, is this the Lord speaking to me? It would be so great if I could just get God to send me a text message. Has God ever texted anybody in here? Has he ever spoken to you through an email? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What about this? Has he ever given someone a word to give to you? And you say, well, that's a word from the Lord. Has God ever spoke to you that way? Wave your hand at me. It's all right. I don't need to. Good. There's a few of you. Maybe through a sermon. How about through a song? How about through worship? God has a lot of ways of speaking to us and getting a message to us and getting words to us. And so we're going to look out of a story that may or may not be familiar to you. It's about a young boy named Samuel, and when God started dealing with his heart and when God was calling him, we're going to look at the story of Samuel and see how it was that Samuel was able to discern and know the voice of God. We all long for direction and clarity in our lives. In a world filled with noise and distractions, we often find ourselves asking the question, is God speaking to me? We know that life can be overwhelming. We know that life sometimes can feel lost and unsure about what is the next step that you should take. And just like Samuel, we find ourselves in a place where we're seeking guidance, but we're unsure if we're hearing the voice of God. And so today we're going to look at this story from the book of 1 Samuel. And what I hope to do at the end of this message is I hope that what I share with you will help you cultivate a heart for hearing. I hope that when we're done today that you'll go home and you'll meditate on this word or you'll go back and listen to it again later in the week and it will help you to cultivate a heart for hearing. How many of you want to live in the absolute perfect will of God. How many of you would love to know this is the Lord speaking to me? I know that I know that I know that I know that this is God speaking to me. And you never have to doubt again. Is this God? Is this me? Is this somebody else? No, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt, God is speaking to me. And so we're going to jump into it. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I'm going to make some comments on the verses, and then we'll have Angel come back or Jeremiah come back and help on the keys as I close this sermon out. 1 Samuel chapter number 3 reads like this. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered and said, "Here I am." Verse 5, and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times. "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Can you say amen to the reading of the word of God? Eli was the priest. Samuel was in the a servant in his house, a young boy who was sent to help Eli in his some of his priestly duties. We don't know the age of Samuel. Josephus, the great historian, seems to suggest that Samuel may have been around 12 years of age when this took place, but we really have no record of that other than Josephus suggesting that maybe 12 years old. Here you have a supposed 12-year-old boy helping out a priest in the temple, and when he's in his place laying down, he hears a voice calling to him, and he responds just like the text said. Let's dive into the text and let's see what the Lord would have for us today. Verse number 1. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. That word rare in the Hebrew seems to suggest or has only been used, I believe, twice in all of the Hebrew Bible, and it typically would be reserved to discuss or to relate to a very precious piece of jewelry or something that was so uncommon, extremely rare, and of great value. And so one of the things that I just want to parenthetically insert in this message as we talk about how to hear the voice of God is never discount the value of the word of the Lord. Don't ever take God's word for granted. I think too many times in the American church culture, because of the advent of the internet and so much teaching out there and preaching out there, sometimes we've got to make sure we don't get comfortable and take the word of God coming forth for granted. I love one of the things that's highlighted to me in verse number 1 is that the word of God is something that should be esteemed highly. It ought to be something that is precious. There ought to be something that is of value. It ought to be something that that is of great value and esteemed highly. So never take God's word for granted. Oftentimes when we come into church and the preacher starts preaching, be careful not to get caught up in a game on your phone or texting or hurrying up trying to get out of here and get down the road, not when the word of God is coming forth. Can I just preach a little bit right here? The word of God is transformational. The word of God, the one word from the Lord can do more in your life than 10,000 words from the greatest counselors on the planet. Sometimes all you need is a word from the Lord. That's why I make it a precedence. I make it rather a priority in my life to make sure I'm in the house of God, whether it be a Sunday morning, whether it be a small group throughout the week. Make sure that I am with God's people, brothers and sisters of like faith. There might just be a word that I've been looking for. You've been praying and asking God for direction, but don't go to church on Sunday and wonder why isn't God speaking. God will speak to you through his word. You've got to make sure we stay in a place where we esteem the word of God highly above all things. God himself esteems his word highly above everything else. And so should we, the church, esteem the word of God high over everything else. If you love the word of God and the word of God's changed your life, can you take the next 10 seconds and just give God praise for the word of the Lord that comes forth? We live in a day where somebody's looking for answers, and we want answers. We need help. We see trouble all around us, and we're hoping that it'll come at an election in November. Yes, go out and do your civic duty and vote. Absolutely. But the answer we need, and the answer we will always need, is found in the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. That Word in the book of John, he was talking about is Jesus, for the word became flesh and came and dwelt among us. Somebody give praise for the word being Jesus in this place. Said the word of the Lord was rare. Visions were uncommon. Samuel was dedicated to serving in the temple. Watch this. Even when God's voice seemed absent. Sometimes you may feel distant from God, or you may believe that God is silent. Let me ask you this question. When you feel like God's a million miles away, or when you feel like God is silent, can you stay faithful to that God? Can you stay faithful to him? Can you continue to serve? One of the other observations that I get out of verse number one is that even though the word was rare, visions were rare, God seemed absent or God was silent, it did not prevent Samuel from serving faithfully in the temple. Oftentimes, people will jump from church to church because they say, well, I'm not getting anything out of that. I'm not being fed over there. Let me just tell you, number one, I'm not your mama. I'm not here to feed you. You're an adult. Learn to feed yourself. What we want to do is be lazy and put it on the preacher and say, he doesn't feed me. No, stop being lazy. Feed yourself. So you don't let mama come by and feed you anymore. She don't have to cook a meal for you anymore, does she? No, I'm looking around this room. We all seem to be pretty well fed, even if it's vegan food over here with mushrooms and asparagus and whatever. But we listen. So when the word seems absent or God doesn't seem like he's there, keep staying faithful. I wish I could tell you that every time I showed up, I just knew God was in the building. Do you know how many Sundays I showed up here and stood in this pulpit not feeling anything, not feeling God in the room, not feeling anointed, not feeling like he's here? But you know what we do? We do it faithfully anyway. Many of us are walking by sight and not by faith, but the Bible teaches you walk by faith and not by sight. And Samuel stayed faithful. When you get to the place, I'm not getting anything out of that church anymore, I'm going to go find another one that I can go to. And then you stop being faithful. Touch your neighbor and say, stay faithful. That's the wrong neighbor. Hit the other neighbor and tell them, stay faithful. Remain faithful in your service to the Lord, regardless of whether you're feeling anything or not. Stay faithful to serving, whether you feel it or not. There's been many a time I don't feel it, but you would never know it, because I'd rather be faithful than feel a thing. Come on, somebody. If I feel a thing, amen. If I feel him, bless the Lord. If I feel him, that's icing on the cake for me. But if I don't feel him, it doesn't mean I'm not going to be faithful. If I'm not feeling it, doesn't mean I'm not going to be faithful. There are some mornings I wake up, I don't feel like loving anybody, but I stay faithful to Blondie over here. She'd kill me if I didn't. But anyway... stay faithful. Let the church say faithful. Faithful even when you're not feeling it. Faithful when you're not feeling it. Stay faithful. That's what you learn from Samuel over here. You want to hear the voice of God. You want to tune into the voice of God. You want to know what God's will is and what he's speaking to you. Point number one, stay faithful in serving him. Whether you hear him, feel him, experience him or not, stay faithful. Verse number two. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. Eli was representing spiritual authority, and he was losing his ability to be able to see clearly. Recognize that spiritual leaders, while they are valuable, they are human and they can struggle. Do not depend solely on other people for your spiritual insight. You must seek God directly through prayer and through scripture. I've watched too many people over the last 22 years of pastoring. They needed a word from the Lord, and they heard a prophet was over here, a prophetess was over there, there was someone over here, and they would start running from church to church, meeting to meeting, trying to get a word from somebody else. And while I understand that there's value, there can be value in finding someone that can confirm what God's been speaking into your heart, don't make it a habit. Don't make it a ritual, and don't make it a practice to go to everybody else to hear, well, what is God telling you concerning my life? Can I be honest with you? Most of the time, they're not even thinking about you, praying for you, or what God has to say concerning your life. They'll make something up just to get you out of their faith, but they ain't talking to God about you. And you'll run, and you'll try to listen. This teaches me that sometimes, even though Eli represented spiritual authority, it said his vision was going dim and he wasn't seeing too clearly. And I understand that sometimes while there can be value in it, don't make that your sole practice of hearing. Well, I don't know if God's speaking to me. Let me call up mama and them. Let me go find a preacher. Let me go find a prophet. Let me go find to see if God. No, don't do that. You got to learn to seek God yourself. Touch your neighbor and say, pray yourself. You've got to. We get lazy sometimes, and we don't want to put in the work and put in the effort and put in the time going after God and seeking God. We want somebody else to do the bench pressing for us, and you don't know if they're even doing right. Their vision may be dimmed, and you don't even know it. Let the church say, well. Verse number three, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of the Covenant. The lamp symbolizes the presence of God. I want you to hear this now. The lamp symbolizes the presence of God. And this is what verse number three says. It says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. When I read that, I felt a prophetic unction leap on the inside of me, Elder George. And even though this may not necessarily pertain to how to hear the voice of God, one of the words that I heard when I read that is that it may feel dark and seem dark in the time that you're living in, but the light of God or the presence of God is still shining regardless of how dark it might be, regardless of how dark it might feel, regardless of how dark the news media might make it. War over in Israel, war over in Ukraine, floods in Western North Carolina, hurricanes hitting Florida. It may feel dark and seem dark, but I've come by to let somebody in the room know today that the presence of God, the light of God, is still shining regardless of how dim some of the spiritual leaders in this country have gotten. The presence of God is still shining brighter than ever. God still shines even in the darkness. Let me tell you something that I know about light. Light has substance to it. You know what darkness is? Darkness doesn't have anything to it. The only thing darkness is the absence of light. Darkness doesn't even exist without the absence of light. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how dark it might feel in your world, I've got to let you know that the light of God is still burning bright and still shining. Darkness can never smother out light. Light repels darkness. Darkness doesn't shroud light. It's the opposite. You serve, and let me tell you this, in the beginning was the Word, and in Him was the light. It was the light of men. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you, no matter how dark your situation might be, His light is still shining. I wish you'd take about 20 seconds to give God praise for still shining even in your darkness. Thank you, God. Said the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Watch this. And Samuel was sleeping in their tabernacle where? Near the ark of God. Those of you who know a little bit about the Old Testament know that the ark of God represented the place where the presence of God dwelt. It was where the presence of God dwelt in between the two cherubim. It'd be like a greenish-blue light would manifest between the two cherubim. And that was the presence of God, or the representation of the presence of God on earth. And so notice where Samuel was. Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the presence of God. Regardless of how dark your situation might be, regardless of how dark it may feel, regardless of all of that, one of the things that you and I must learn to do is to position ourselves near Him. If you're a note taker, write this down. I didn't coin this phrase. I didn't make it up. I heard it a long time ago. Proximity fixes everything. Nothing else will. Whatever you're dealing with in your life, get close enough to Jesus. Whatever you're handling, whatever you're going through, proximity will fix it. Not proximity to a political group, not proximity to a pastor, proximity to Jesus. Touch your neighbor, say, just get close to Jesus. You get close to Jesus, it'll fix everything in your life. You get close enough to Him. You position yourself near Him. And do you know what that takes? That takes some grit. That takes some determination. That takes some guts for you to get close to Him. It's going to take effort, and it's going to take work. It's going to take discipline for you to get close to Jesus. It's not that Jesus is so aloof and so far away. It's just that the world you live in is so noisy and so distracting that it does everything to keep you away and pull you away from Him. And therefore, you need to make a greater effort to make sure you get next to Jesus as close as you can. Get so close to Him that you can't see daylight between you and Him. Get so close to Jesus. Position yourself next to Him. I'm here to tell you, then you'll be able to discern and know if God's talking to you or not. Do you know who wrote the book of Revelation? A man named John. Do you know who John was? John was the one, when you fast go back to the Last Supper, John was the one who laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. You had everybody else at the table, but there was only one who laid his head on the bosom of Jesus, and that was John. What do you mean, preacher? I'm here to tell you that because John was so close, he could hear his heartbeat. John was tasked with the idea of writing the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. You get so close enough, you can hear his heartbeat. I'm here to tell you, you'll know that it is him when he's talking to you. The problem is, we don't want to make the effort or the discipline to get close to him. We'd rather be scrolling TikTok, Facebook, or watching a ball game instead of spending time on our knees in prayer or in worship going after him. Nah, they don't want me to come on, Noriel. That's too much. That's too much. They're like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be an easier way. No, the way is just get close to him. Proximity fixes everything. Nothing else. We'll touch a neighbor and say, just get close to him. Create space for God in your life. It's funny to me how we show up for church once every 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe go to a small group every now and then, and then get mad and frustrated because I don't hear God saying anything to me. That's because God's not a priority in your life. God must, listen, it's not about adding God to your already perfect little life. Do you understand Christianity and living for Jesus and going after Jesus happens to be an entire lifestyle? It is a lifestyle. It's not just a thing you do on a Sunday. It's not just a thing you do on a Wednesday. It is a thing you do Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. It's a lifestyle. And we get frustrated because I don't hear God saying anything to me, because you spend one Sunday, maybe an hour, hour and a half with him once a month, once every few weeks, and get frustrated and, God, you're not talking to me. No, make room for him in your life. Make him a priority in your life. No, better yet, get rid of your life and give it to him and make him your life. How about that? No, the thing is, we still want to cling to our lives and the cross. And you can't do both. You have to lay your life down and take up the cross. And it's got to be all about him. It's either all him, all the way, or it's nothing. And I think we've messed up in the American church culture because we're trying to hang on to this and get a hold of Jesus. And it is a lifestyle that must be lived out 24/7. Can you say amen? That's good preaching right there. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. I know that's right. Verse number 4, suddenly the Lord called out to Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? God called Samuel by his name. God knows each, I love this. God knows each of us personally. 8 billion people on this planet. 8 billion people on this planet. And he knows you personally. The Bible teaches us that he knows you so well, he knows the number of hairs that's on the top of your head. There's some in this room, I know the number of hairs on the top of your head. Hassam, I know the numbers of hair on Hassam's head. None, I know that. Probably shouldn't be busting on my security detail. Chill. Here's what I want to tell you. God, not only does he know you personally, but I want you to get a hold of this. His desire is to communicate and talk to you. Do you know why it got quiet in here just now? Because you didn't believe it when I said it. You're not convinced that he knows your name and he wants to talk to you. You think you're not worthy enough. You think you're not deserving enough. You think that if he's going to talk to me, he's got to talk to George, or he's got to talk to Mama G or JoJo or the pastor. No, he knows your name and he wants to talk to you. He wants to communicate with you. And I'll be honest with you, I believe he does talk to us all the time. We're just never in a place where we can hear him all the time. because we're still caught up in the busyness and the noise of our lives that we're not quiet enough or still enough to hear him when he whispers. Do you know why he whispers? Because he refuses to compete with the noise that's going on in your life. So I'll whisper. I'm not competing with that noise. I want that noise shut off. Because I'm not going to compete with the noise. Shut the noise down. Get in a quiet place. Get next to him. And you can hear my whisper. That's why he whispers. That's why he whispers to you. Because it's going to require you to get quiet and still your mind and still your heart. And get quiet enough that I can hear his whisper. And so he cries out or calls out to Samuel. And Samuel responds. And so that tells me that he knows my name. And he wants to talk to me. And if he knows my name, and I know how I am. And so if it's that God's not a respecter of persons, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. Touch your name and say, he's talking to you. Now turn around and get them people behind you. Just turn your seat all the way around. If they got your back turned to you right now, and shake them by the shoulder and say, he's talking to you. That's who he's talking to. Verse number 5, he ran to Eli and said, here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. And so he did. Samuel's first instinct was to seek guidance from Eli. It's natural to want to seek confirmation from others when we feel like God's speaking to us. However, discernment is the key. Do you know what discernment is? Discernment is being able to determine, being able to feel out, being able to figure out, being able to ascertain whether or not this is God or this is not God. Being able to weigh out the spirits, being able to judge the spirits, to figure out and determine, am I hearing from the Lord? And so sometimes you've got, listen, God speaks to me. I told you this last week. I get nudges and I get feelings and I've never heard the audible voice of God like Samuel's hearing here. This obviously is the audible voice of God. That's never happened to me that I can remember. But through nudges, through feelings, I feel like the Lord speaks to me. But then I've got to go weigh it out. How do I do that? I go to the Word of God. I don't go looking for everybody else. My first stop is the Word of God. Does this sound like how God would speak? Most of the time, the reason we miss God is because we've not spent enough time in the Word of God to be able to determine how God speaks. Notice in this verse, he called out and it said, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He didn't know him. He wasn't familiar with his voice. He wasn't familiar with his word. He wasn't familiar with how he would speak. The only way you're going to get familiar with how he speaks is to read the book that he wrote. When you read the book that he wrote, then you'll be able to determine how it is that he speaks. And whatever nudge, whatever feeling, whatever impression that you're dealing with, you'll be able to go back and say, this sounds like how God would speak. You've been around your spouse or your children long enough to know that if somebody came to you and said, well, Tina said this, I know Tina well enough to know if that came out of her mouth or not. I've spent enough time with her. I know how she speaks, and I know if she said it or didn't say it based on whatever it was you said that she said. I'll know if it's her or not because I spent enough time with her. I know how she talks. And so there's no quick and easy way around this. You've got to familiarize yourself. You have got to discipline yourself to get into the Word of God. Now, I understand there are times, and I still do this myself, where even though I say, this sounds like how God talks, I may go find the elders in the church and I may say, I want you to judge this for me. Because maybe I've missed a thing. Maybe I missed something there. Maybe I missed a verse of scripture. Maybe I missed the story, or I can't seem to recall or remember it. And I'll say, will you judge this for me? Not necessarily asking them to give me a word. I'm asking them to judge a word that I feel like the Lord has spoken. And I feel like it's a word of the Lord because I know how God speaks, because I've spent enough time in his word to say that sounds familiar to me. And so there's no way to circumvent or get around that. If you truly want to understand and know and tune in to the voice of God, you must read His Word. You must get into the Word of God, read His Word, listen to His Word, the internet works now, and with technology now, you can be driving down the road and you can listen to somebody else. You can have Charlton Heston read the Word to you. Only two people laugh because the rest of you have no idea who he is. Who is that? Mom's like, I know who that is. That was Moses, wasn't it? He played Moses. He wasn't Moses. Or he could have been. I don't know. Verse number 6. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Here's what I want you to get out of this verse. Samuel was persistent in seeking answers. He went back to Eli. He returned to Eli, which shows his eagerness to understand. Now, here's what I want you to get. When God is speaking to us, when God is speaking to you, God almost always confirms His word again and again. He'll repeat it, and He'll repeat it, and He'll repeat it. Most of the time when I feel like I know the Lord is speaking to me, when I first feel this inclination or this impression or this nudge, I may not respond or react to it, but if it comes up again a day later or even in the same week, and if this thing keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back, no doubt I've got to hit the pause button and go, hold on a second, maybe God's trying to talk to me. And I think we miss what God's saying to us because we lack persistence in our pursuit. And so you've got to make sure that you remain persistent in your pursuit of wanting to understand what it is that God's saying to you. You have got to stay persistent. It may come one time. Don't be one and done. Be like, just keep being persistent. God, is this you talking to me? God, is this you speaking to me? When God called me to pastor standing in that back corner back there, I did not respond immediately to the call. In fact, I told you what I did. I rebuked the devil. Isn't that an interesting conversation to have with the Lord? The Lord's calling me and I'm rebuking the devil. And this went on for not just a week or not just a day, not just a week, but it went on for a month and then another month and then another month and then another month and then another month. And this thing went on for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months of me just going back to that same corner going, God, is this you? Are you speaking to me? And God would once again confirm, I would once again feel that same feeling, that same impression, that same nudge, that same. And then after a while, you just got to be like, okay, this is obviously God talking to me. And then you've got to operate and step out in faith and say, I know this is the Lord. But notice that Samuel stayed persistent in going after him. Now, what often happens to us is if we go, well, I want to hear the Lord speak, and you get to praying and seeking Him, and then it's crickets. Don't get discouraged. Oftentimes we get discouraged and we shut down and go, well, I tried. He didn't talk to me. You gave it one time. You might have to give it 10 times, 100 times. You might have to be the persistent widow that keeps going back. Knock and the door shall be answered. Don't knock once and quit. Keep knocking on that door. Come on, somebody. It takes a degree of persistence to be able to hear from the Lord sometimes. It's not that God is trying to be elusive and get away from you. It's none of those things. I just think God is wanting to see. That the Bible says it this way in Hebrews, he who diligently seeks me shall be rewarded. Maybe what God is looking for is a persistent people and a diligent people who will pursue Him and go after Him and not just quit after one rap at the door. No, keep on knocking until somebody comes and opens that door or answers that door. Learn to develop some persistence in your life, and then you'll get to the place where you, that is the voice of God talking to me. I've remained persistent enough to know that. I don't know who's coming to the keys, but come on, let's get them up here and we'll wrap this thing up. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never heard a message from the Lord. We've already talked about that. Sometimes what you need is time to grow in your understanding of God's voice. Let me say that again. Sometimes what you need to do is to develop and grow in your understanding of hearing the voice of God. It takes persistence and it takes patience. It takes time. It takes you developing those skills to be able to recognize this is the voice of the Lord. This is God talking. And it takes you getting in prayer. It takes you being in worship. And it absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, takes being in the Word of God and reading His Word. And you've got to give yourself time to grow. You have got to give yourself time to develop the skill sets to be able to hear from the Lord. Don't try to rush through it. I've been walking with God for well over 30-some years, and I still have to slow down sometimes. I still have to hit the pause button sometimes to make sure I'm hearing from Him. I don't care how long you've walked with God, sometimes you still got to go back and hone those skills and develop those skills on making sure you're quiet enough and still enough to be able to hear when He speaks to you. And so Samuel needed time to grow in his understanding of God's voice. I told you, with me, God speaks to me through nudges, through impressions, through feelings. I talked to someone recently, God speaks to them through pictures. I would pray for people in the altar from time to time, and God would show me a vision, and God would speak to that person through a vision that I would have over their lives. That still happens, by the way. But it took time to develop. The first time I would go to pray for people in the altar, I'd see these pictures. I'd see these like a TikTok reel, way before TikTok even came out, like a reel. I'd see this picture, like a movie or a scene. And it happened a lot, and I didn't know what that was. I had no idea. I would just lay hands on people and begin to pray for them. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen where I would go to pray for them, and I'd see a vision. And it took a long time for me to develop the skills to recognize that is God trying to speak to them or confirm something to them. And He's doing it through a picture, through a vision that He's showing to me. And I remember the first few times I would step out and do that. And then watching the people as I would speak that, I would see the people and tears would begin to flow. And you could tell that they were receiving what it was that God was sharing with them in that moment. But it didn't come quickly. It was skills that needed to be developed. It was me learning that this is a way that God can speak, and I had to learn that, and it took time to develop that. It takes time to develop prayer language. It takes time to develop even to be a worshiper sometimes. It just takes time to learn how to do it. A lot of people come to church, it's strange for them to even lift up a hand, and you're coming to a church where we're telling everybody, lift up a hand, and you're like, put it in your pocket, that's weird. No, it takes time. You've got to develop that. You've got to learn. You've got to trust. This is how God speaks. This is how God interacts. This is how God talks. And so, verse number 8, the Lord called a third time. Samuel runs to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? And then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Notice it took several attempts. That's how God is sometimes. Aren't you grateful that God is so merciful? That when He begins to want to speak to you, or He begins to want to share something with you, He doesn't stop if you don't get it the first time. He doesn't stop if you don't get it the second time. He doesn't stop if you don't get it the third time. Come on, somebody. How many of you are grateful that He kept coming after you? How many of you are grateful that He kept showing up? That He kept coming after you no matter what? No matter how far you got away, no matter how fast you try to run, no matter where you try to hide, how many of you are glad He kept coming after me? How many of you are glad that He never gave up after the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time? How many of you are glad that He kept approaching, kept chasing, kept coming after you? We often preach you need to chase God. Here, let me tell it to you this way. God's been chasing you. He hasn't let up on you. He hasn't given up on you. He knows your name, and He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to know things that only you could know from Him. Come on, everybody, stand to your feet in this room. Give God praise as you stand up. Thank God for Him not ever giving up on you. Thank God for Him not ever stopping after the first time, second time, or third time that He kept stirring you. He keeps stirring our hearts. He keeps stirring our spirits. He keeps stirring us. If He's still stirring you, if He keeps stirring you, if He, you feel those, that nudge, that pull, that, you know, we talk about tugging on the heart. You keep feeling that. It's just God coming after you. It's because He knows who you are. He knows what you need, and He knows when you need it. And I'm grateful for a God who stays persistent in my life and doesn't quit after the first, second, or third time. Don't get discouraged if you haven't tuned in yet. Don't get discouraged if you haven't heard yet. Keep putting in the work. Keep putting in the prayer. Keep putting in the worship. Keep putting in the times that is quiet and reserved just for the Lord. And you may have to do that. You may have to set aside a time every day, whether it be early in the morning or in the evening before you go to bed. You may have to set that time aside and say, this is holy time. This is sacred time. This is quiet time. This is quiet time. You may have to designate a specific place where you say, this is my quiet place for my quiet time, so that I can quiet myself, so I can hear the whisper of His voice. The world that we live in is noisy. The world that we live in is distracting. The world that we live in is competing for your attention and for your ear. Who is it competing with? The great I am. It's competing with Jesus. And Jesus, like, just quiet yourself in a quiet place, and you will hear what I have to say to you. Amen. Imagine with me for a moment what it would be like if the moment you got out of bed and opened up your eyes, before you could even put your feet on the ground, you immediately begin to hear the whispers of God in your heart and in your mind. Imagine as you got out of bed and you began your day, the whole time you are in tune and you are in a position where you hear Him talking and you hear His whispers. I can think of a time in my life a few years ago. It started sometime in January of that year. It was in January of that particular year. From the moment I would get out of bed, I would hear the quietness and the stillness of His voice. I would position myself in a recliner. I'd lay my Bible on my lap. I would sometimes have music playing, most of the time not. And I would just hear Him whisper to me all throughout the day. And I would stay in that chair, and I would stay in that living room for not just minutes, George, but for hours on hours and on hours. It would happen so often and so frequently. Tina can tell you this. There would be days where I would watch the sun rise and set and never close my eyes. Didn't want to miss a whisper from the Lord. Imagine what that would be in your life if that happened to you. Imagine how transformational your life would be if you got to the place where you would just begin. Have you ever had those seasons in your life where you felt like, I've been through both extremes. I felt like there have been seasons where He was a million miles away, where He wasn't anywhere near, He wasn't in my zip code, He wasn't in my state, wasn't even sure if He was in my country, probably not even in my universe. I felt those times. And there have been other times, Carmela, where I felt like I didn't even have to say a word, just a thought, and He was already talking to me. So much I could hear the whisper of His voice. Imagine what our lives would look like if that's us, if we started behaving and putting in the work and getting close to Him and seeking Him and going after Him and tuning into His voice, quieting all the distractions and all the hindrances and all the noises around us, how beneficial would that be in your life? How advantageous would that be in your life? No, I know this is His voice. I know Him talking to me. I know it. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for this congregation. I pray for us, God, that as we endeavor to draw near to You, as we endeavor to draw close to You, as we endeavor to get to a place where we can tune in to Your voice, help us to quiet out all the noise. Help us to quiet out all the distractions. Help us to find and create and carve out time where we are with You, spending time with You. Even if it's just a few minutes to start, God, let it be a start. Let it be something. God, we desire to hear Your voice. We desire to know Your will. We desire to be in tune with You, God. After all, You love us and we love You, and we want to hear from You, Lord, as You speak to us. We don't want to always have to go to the prophet. We don't always want to have to go to the man of God or the woman of God. We want to be able to lock in so that we can hear, this is, thus saith the Lord, God is talking to me. And so, God, I pray for each and every person in this room this week as we begin to set a time aside and block off time to hear from You, that You would begin to whisper to them and speak to them. And when You do, God, when You do, let us be like verse number one. Let us count it as rare and valuable and esteem it highly and write it down. Write it in our hearts and write it in our minds. Write it on paper, God. We'll write it down. If You're faithful to speak, God, we'll be faithful to capture what You're saying to us, and we'll write it down. In Jesus' name, speak to our hearts and change our lives.